Turn your tax refund into a new bathroom at Menards. Make this the year you check that project off the list. Upgrade your bathroom with Max. With more than 1,000 showers, bathtubs, and surrounds, you're sure to find exactly what you need to add luxury and style to your bathroom. Save big on our entire selection of Max bathroom products. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big.
Listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show, The Bench with John Granato and Lance Zierlein on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
Welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. John and Lance being joined right now by Brian Baldinger, coming back on the show, NFL Network, Fox Sports, Compass Media Networks. He's an NFL insider. He's been here before, and he's here again. Baldy, welcome to the show. How are you?
Fantastic, man. Lance, how you doing, buddy?
Good. How you doing, Baldy? Long time no see. Hopefully we get to catch up this year.
Yeah, hopefully there, Lance. I mean, it's our time of the year. You know, I mean, we're just sort of looking at these prospects and evaluating them and slotting them. And, you know, I'm having some fun doing it. I always enjoy it.
It's interesting. I've got a mock draft coming out. I've turned it in today, just a little behind-the-scenes stuff. And as Brian will tell you, so that means that I have three TV shows to do tomorrow. As soon as a mock draft comes out, every single one of them, Lance, we're going to get you on to talk about your mock. Okay. I got a whole day of doing that stuff tomorrow because of the mock draft.
That's all right.
I find this to be the case, Brian. When you go through a mock draft, so I took over 10 hours to get one done yesterday because I kept, you know, you try to get it perfect. You want to slide these pieces in, and that doesn't quite feel right. There's never a draft that feels completely right when you go back and look at it, and it's always going to get busted up because of trades that happen. I think this year, Baldy, is going to be one of the craziest we've seen in a while because you have so many teams with multiple picks and draft capital inside the first two rounds, and the quarterback position, I just don't know where to slot these guys.
Well, here's what I think about mock drafts. I mean, I don't mock them. I don't make fun of them, but you know, if you spend 10 hours, Lance, trying to put that puzzle together, to me, it's a good exercise. You know, you're really refining what you've watched and studied. You've paid attention to teams' needs and things that you might or might not hear. You know, I mean, we don't really know at this time of the year. So I think the exercise is a good exercise. I know some people probably just slap them together. But, you know, I mean, you've got a very credible name, Lance, so I think that's a good exercise. But, you know, look, the quarterbacks usually drive these drafts, especially with teams that have, you know, a lot of draft capital. And I just don't know. I mean, it just takes one to fall in love with somebody the way, you know, three teams presumably back in 2017 fell in love with Patrick Mahomes. And that's why, you know, the Chiefs traded from 24 all the way to 10, getting from the Saints to take him. And so, you know, maybe that guy is Malik Willis this year. Maybe he isn't. I don't know yet. But, you know, it just takes one team like Kansas City, you know, 5 years ago to go say, that's the guy of our future. And obviously it was the right move.
Who drafts a quarterback first, Baldy?
Well, I mean, I can't believe that Carolina would go into the season with Sam Darnold again. I heard what Sam said this week. And, you know, to a large degree, Sam's right. You know, he has not played on a good team. They haven't been good around him. And he's been the product of a lot of that. But I just understanding the owner, knowing the coach pretty well, I think Carolina drafts one first, unless somebody feels like they're going to take the guy that they want and maybe they trade with the Giants at number five. I think that's the first point in this draft where we might see a trade. Well, I don't think the Giants would mind moving back from five to whatever and adding more capital. So it looks to me like Carolina could go high with that first pick.
I tell you what, one of the things that's really – okay, so if you do that with Carolina, if you were to go, for example, if Carolina went quarterback, I can tell you this. I talked to somebody who yesterday said they're hoping there's a huge run on quarterbacks that at least four go so that they push some of the good football players into the second round.
Yeah.
There is a belief by some teams that zero of these quarterbacks will be good starters in the league. That's what I find very interesting is, and the NFL guys who actually have to, you know, get hired and fired based on their how they put teams together, they don't just look at a pro day workout and go, "Whoa, look at that pro day workout." Like, they are looking at it from a different standpoint, and they see these guys as potentially getting coaches fired type quarterbacks. Do you think that's harsh, or can you see the point?
Yeah, I can see the point, but I mean, was Zach Wilson that good of a player at BYU?
I didn't think so.
You know, injury history, Lance, injury history wasn't, I mean, played at BYU, nothing against the Cougs, but I mean, it wasn't like he was going up against SEC competition every week. And he's the second pick in the draft. And if you said to me, okay, is Desmond Ridder that much different? Is, you know, I mean, you know, pick a guy in this draft. Are any of these guys, you know, Kenny Pickett, I mean, are they that much different than Zach Wilson? Is he that elite? To me, like, I've heard people say that if Sam Darnold was in this draft, he'd be heads and shoulders above everybody. Well, I don't know. Like, Sam Darnold has not – I understand, you know, he hasn't played behind a good offensive line and all that kind of stuff. But, would Kenny Pickett not be in competition with Sam Darnold if they were to compete with one another? That's kind of a conversation I think you can have. I understand all of that, all the conversations, but – I'm not so sure that Kenny Pickett isn't going to be a good pro, to be honest with you. I mean, 49 starts. I can't find one NFL player on his team, on his offense, that he's playing with. You know, I mean, like, you got to consider some of that and win the ACC and starting 49 games and, you know, winning a bunch. So, you got to let these guys go get a chance to play. We saw, just not to get too far off the track, but we saw Matt Stafford in Detroit, you know, kind of stumble through 12 seasons. And, you know, it took one team, the Rams, to say, no, this guy's an elite talent. We'll show you how elite he was. And he showed us all. And so much is put on the shoulders of the quarterback, but they need so much help around him.
Brian Baldinger, our guest right now from NFL Network. Brian, there's a lot of people around NFL who believe the Texans at pick number 3 are going to lean on Lovie Smith and what he wants, and that's going to be a pass rusher and a guy who gets up the field. I'm of the other mind. I feel like if you get a chance to draft Evan Neal, for example, I think he's big, athletic, he's technically sound. I think he's safe, and he can play left tackle, right tackle. If you want him to play guard this year, he can, and eventually take over at left tackle for Laremy Tunsil, whose contract looks like a cap casualty after this year is over. Where do you fall on the pass rusher versus the offensive lineman at the number 3 pick for the Texans?
Well, if you could tell me right now, Lance, that Evan Neal is going to be anywhere near Tristan Wirfs or Rashawn Slater, to me it would be a no-brainer. Like, those two guys they came right into the league, started day one, and have been as good as anybody at their positions. And if you tell me Evan Neal can be in that category, Lance, to me, I totally agree with you. Go get the tackle and play Evan at right tackle, Laremy at left tackle, and whatever you decide to do at quarterback, he's going to be a lot better protected with those two guys.
Well, and that's the thing to me is, show me, if you really believe in Davis Mills, you need to get that offensive line fixed. You need to get it right. This idea that they're just going to piecemeal that, this is a deep pass rush draft. So to me, you can find pass rushers, I'm just telling you, second, third, fourth round, you can go find pass rushers. And Lovie Smith, a lot of times, Brian, defensive coaches believe that they can find defensive talent in later rounds. And the same thing with offensive coaches. They believe, oh, I can find a guy who I can get to play in my system. It doesn't have to be first round. So I will say, sometimes you see coaches on a particular side of the ball who like to draft on the other side of the ball because they feel like they know the secret sauce on their side and they can get guys outside of the first round.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I mean, look, there's no bigger example of that, Lance, than Max Crosby. You know, there's a guy that has done nothing but just climb the ladder to an elite status and a $100 million contract that was taken in the fourth round at Eastern Michigan. You know, and if you tell me in this draft that Sam Williams could be that guy, like, he's got to play harder, he's got to be better against the run, but he's a great pass rusher. So, I mean, you probably could get him in the middle rounds, you know, just because of some of his deficiencies, but, you know, and you know, some blemishes, you know, in his character. But, I mean, I think you could find, like, I believe you're going to find really good pass rushers in this draft in the third and fourth round. We always do. We always find them.
Yeah. Yannick Ngakoue, for example, was a third round pick.
Yeah. And he was in the same draft as Dante Fowler?
I think he was. Yeah, I think he was. And interestingly enough, those two had beef in Jacksonville. But yeah, I think he was in the same draft with Dante Fowler, which was, that was also considered a good pass rush draft.
Yeah, coming out of Florida, third pick, and, you know, tears his ACL before he, you know, steps on the field of a game. But, you know, Yannick has been a much better player. And he was, fourth or fifth round out of Maryland, whatever it was, Lance. But he's been a better player.
Yep. Adam, Brian Baldinger, our guest right now. And, Baldy, before we let you go, so looking at the draft as a whole and the Texans as a whole, this is Nick Caserio's first draft where he actually has a first and a second round pick. How the process of rebuilding the Texans with this draft capital they now have after dealing Deshaun Watson, how long do you see it? What do you think the runway looks like for Nick Caserio, and how important is it overstated to say this is really a must year for the Texans to hit on first round picks?
I think so. I mean, you know, you got to start somewhere, Lance. I mean, they've been out there in left field for the last, you know, two seasons now. And so they got to start adding talent. We've seen a talent drain go out of Houston. A lot of good players have left. You know, Reed left this year in free agency. I mean, they just haven't done a good job of identifying good players. They haven't drafted well. And so it's got to start somewhere. And, you know, if you can find three starters in this draft, I mean, that'd be a good start, especially if, you know, some of those guys become Pro Bowl players. You know, when you go back and you look at what they did with Whitney Mercilus and J.J. Watt and the guys that they drafted, I mean, you know, they hit on a lot of draft picks back then, and they were winning the division for quite a few years back then and winning playoff games. So I think it does have to start this year, Lance.
Brian, we really appreciate you joining us and talking some football with us. Always a pleasure, and hopefully we'll get a catch up soon.
Yeah, my pleasure. Talk to you guys.
And by the way, great breakdowns during the year on football on Twitter. Fantastic stuff. I know a lot of people really love the insight that you bring to the table. Just wanted to give you a little shout out on that because
yeah,
a lot of people
Lance.
Watch your stuff as well on that.
Yeah, I enjoy doing it. I really do. For the fans and the players both. I mean, it's just trying to explain the game and pointing out the good things, maybe some bad things too. But, yeah, I enjoy doing it, Lance. Thanks.
All right, thanks. Brian Baldinger from NFL Network, what we consider to be the finest network in sports. We are a more sensitive network. Mm. We have a lot of great in-depth draft coverage and information on there.
Mm.
Really the network of the people. Is what a lot of people say.
The NFL Network, that's what everybody says.
Yep.
The network of the people. They're not worried about money.
NFL.
That's all they're worried about is.
Network for life.
Yeah.
Is what that stands for.
Yeah, that's what everybody says.
So just giving you some insight there.